Last week, at the 1st of July, we began a series on the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to break it down into five different phrases, the five main phrases of the Lord's Prayer. We have five Sundays, so we're on number two. Last week was Our Father. Those two words, we spent a little bit of time on our, meaning it's a communal prayer. It's meant for everybody to be said together in a communal way. Our Father. That word is not just a statement of God's gender. It can be, if you want to think of it like that, but it's a statement, more importantly, of the relationship we have with God. It's an intimate term translated as Abba. Jesus' term for the Father, and this is the way Jesus wants us to talk to God, in a close relationship. So we have a close relationship with God, or at least Jesus wants us to, but God is still at the same time in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy. Holy is God. God is other and unique, not like us. It is this way that brings us to salvation. Jesus provides us access to this friendly God, and it is through the journey of getting to know God and God's holiness and God's otherness, God in heaven, that we come closer and we come to salvation. Our second phrase is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Loaded statement to pray, your will be done, God. It's a bold prayer, bold prayer. Similar to last week, we have sort of a contrast. God the familiar, God the other, God holy. Here we have earth contrasted with heaven, asking that God's will be done like it is in heaven, assuming what heaven is like, that heaven is a good place, that heaven is an abundant place. What are the qualities of heaven? Do we imagine heaven to be? What are they? Say them.
Happiness.
No pain. No fear. Is that what you say? No fears. No tears. Right? We imagine, what's that?
Joy of reunion.
Joyful reunions. Yes. Heaven's a place of joy. These are the kinds of things that we're praying for our earth to be as well. We pray this every week, every week. Do we imagine our earth to be a place of joy, abundance, peace, a place of justice, where justice is happening? There's a lot of good things, but there's a lot of things that are wrong with the world. There's a lot of weeds out there. Do we want the earth to become a place more like heaven? It would seem obvious. Yes, we would, right? But I ask the question because so often I believe we shrug our shoulders a little bit on the affairs of the world because they're so big sometimes. War, famine. We believe that, well, we won't be able to do very much about it, so we say, well, there's always heaven in front of us, right? Sometimes I believe we get too preoccupied with this concept of heaven. Like we want to escape this world. We want to get off this world. And that is really the motivation of our prayers. We want to escape the stress of dealing with earth, this life. The next life will be better. Why not get started right away? And that is a little bit of a selfish attitude. And of course, we know that being selfish isn't Christian. Not to mention that it ignores half of the will of God. God wants us, every one of us, to come into salvation. God wants to gather us all up in heaven. God wants to bring us all to where he is. Jesus says this, I am making a place for you in heaven. But it is also God's will that this earth be more like heaven. How do we know this? Well, this is Jesus' words. Right in the center of the Sermon on the Mount, arguably the most important of Jesus' teachings, certainly its most complete and longest. 3 chapters. Right in the middle is this Lord's Prayer. We can trust that God cares for the earth. We can be assured that God cares for us, all people. God wants to see the world more like heaven is, a place that prospers in the light of God. Think of all the ramifications of that. Yet, from all amazing grace to, I can only imagine, our most widely meaningful and popular Christian songs talk about our individual access to heaven and what a great place that would be. It's easy to gravitate towards that. Without any mention of earth, the place we are leaving behind, we wish for this. There's a lot of self-centeredness in Christianity, I find today. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations on accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There's not anyone here that statement is not true of, that does not apply to. So my question is, what now for us? Are we just sitting around and waiting? No, there's plenty to consider. There is much journey ahead. There is plenty to do. Over 50 times in the Gospel of Matthew, 50 times, Jesus mentions this term, the kingdom of heaven, which incidentally means the kingdom of God. Matthew was very Jewish in his origins. And so to avoid using the word in the name of God, we talked about this last week, he would say the kingdom of heaven. They're synonymous as the same thing. 50 times. And he describes it in such a way. The kingdom is of heaven is like. And then he tells a story, or he gives an example. 50 times. In other words, the kingdom of heaven, which we all want to get to, which we pray every week to come down upon us and to live among us and to be our present reality, cannot be pinned down. It's so mysterious and complex that even by its foremost expert on the subject, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, it takes him over 50 parables and analogies and examples to try and communicate to our human minds what this kingdom of heaven is like. 5 times in this chapter alone, 5 times. A mustard seed, tiny little seed that the plant just kind of takes over a whole field. Yeast that rises. Kingdom of heaven is compared to yeast. It's compared to a treasure that's found in a field and kept safe. It's compared to a fishing net in this story about a field of wheat and weeds. Seems like there's a great deal to consider and understand about what we pray for every single week. Poet Jean-Claude de Classade, French, excuse my French, says that the will of God is deep. The will of God is deep and infinitely more vast than our desires. And I would add our imagination as well. Not only Don't we know the will of God? It's always more than we can imagine that it is. We assume that God would want to pull the weeds out. Why not? It makes more sense to do it now than to wait until it grows and it threatens the crop and it gets bigger and it's more of a mess. Why not root it out now? Get rid of it. No, Jesus says, wait. Wait until the harvest. And then we will pull everything out together. It's not our place. It's not our job to be the judge and jury. That's for God. Instead, our mission is simply to love. To love. To love the world as God does. We are to treat everyone, as if they belong to the kingdom of God, that they have a place in the field. They're meant to be there. We might think that some people are weeds, but they might have a purpose beyond what we can see. There's a book that's written by Mark Riddell called God Zone. And he talks about wherever we are, whatever situation that you're in, whoever you're with, that place is a God zone. God is there. That place is sacred. All these things that we label as secular and sacred, those lines don't exist. Those boundaries do not exist. We like to divide, make dividing lines between things at church. Sacred, school, not sacred, work, not sacred, home, not sacred, no, it's all sacred, God is there. Pretend that God is there, pretend God is sitting there, pretend you're talking to God, pretend like that person you think is a wheat instead. It's a different mindset. Wherever you go in life, whoever you meet, think of them as being children of God. Somebody annoys you. Somebody gets on your nerves. Somebody who is an enemy. Somebody who disagrees with you constantly. When you want to react, when you want to strike back, think of them instead. In the back of your mind, they're a child of God. See what the kind of difference it makes in your attitude, in your thinking, in the way that you react, in what you say to them. There's no place that is unclaimed in this world. It's a crowded world. There's no neutral territory. We're all shoulder to shoulder. God says, I want it all, the whole field. Everyone, the unborn, illegal immigrants, Muslims, Hispanics, Asians, Africans, gay and lesbian people, old and young, poor, rich, disabled people, ex-convicts and addicts, mentally ill people, all children of God. Children of God. It's a crowded place. No one, nothing out there that hasn't been claimed by God. No neutral ground. All of the field is a God zone. Everything. Approach life like that. Who knows? If we treat everyone like a child of God, the more weeds might begin to bear fruit. If we mean what we pray, that God's will be done, and we know that God wants to claim as many people as possible. Don't assume either that there might not be weeds in our churches, lest we become self-righteous and to lose perspective. It is a crowded world after all. Let us pray for God's will.